What I'd like to do now is to share an excerpt from Book 2 and have each of you respond to it. The quote is, "Previous experience is no indicator of truth, since pure truth is created here and now, not reenacted." Marianne?
There's a line in the Course in Miracles that says, "You see no one as they are, you bring shadow figures from the past." This idea of an eternal present, the idea of being born again in each given moment, with our perceptions cleansed, what Neil is speaking of and what God is speaking of, what is being spoken of in that phrase. This idea that time shall be no more means that we will live in a time when we will live fully in the present. We will come to a time when we live fully in the present without neurosing about the past or neurosing about the future. Because when you live in the present, but you're neurosing about the past, you are recreating the past rather than living fully in the present. And so the creativity of life is vastly constricted.
When we're not encumbered, Michael, by our thoughts about yesterday or our worries about tomorrow, as Marianne just said, then we realize that this moment now truly is the present. I mean, it is God's present to us. That's why it's called the present.
And that's why it's called eternity also. It's the one place where, you know, Einstein said that time as well as space were just beliefs that we hold. And so the idea here is that time in a linear time, which is just a belief we have, intersects with God's time or eternity in one place, and that is the present. Once again, the present that God gives us.
Yeah, the eternal moment of now.
Raymond, what's your response to that quote?
I like the idea that truth is something of the moment and is a dynamic force rather than a static thing. I hate to see this kind of idea promulgated that there was a cutoff date on miracles, and the God that I see in Neil's books really is a dynamic, changing entity capable of development, which is very exciting.
You see the implication here, of course, the impactful part of that quote from the book. It has to do with people's thought that they are their yesterdays. We can sit around here, Marianne and Raymond and I and Michael, and throw these philosophical ideas around back and forth for the rest of the day. But what's meaningful to people, to the person on the street, is, oh, I get it. I don't have to be, and I never was, the product of my yesterdays. And nor am I needing to be formed by my fears or thoughts or apprehensions about tomorrow. I truly can recreate myself. In fact, I am doing it, whether I want to or not. The truth is that I am recreating myself in every single moment of now. You can't imagine what a gift that is to people when they realize they can shed their yester moments and notice that they are, in fact, not what they once were. It's a great freedom-giving device and a wonderful gift from God. And that's the practical implication of all of this philosophical talk here.
One of the threads that runs through conversations with God is the theme that we need to be in the here and now and live in the moment. I'm wondering what insights you have, considering that we live in a very fast-paced society, as to how people can do that. Be in the here and now, live in the moment.
Well, just do it. But I don't know anyone who does that better than Marianne. I'm going to cede to her on this one, because she, in fact, of all the people that I know in my life right now, lives in the present moment more purely and more cleanly than anyone I happen to know. So, Marianne, you're the expert.
That was really a sweet thing of you to say. I don't perceive myself as some huge success in this area, but I appreciate your saying it. I do know this, that when he said, "You just have to do it," you know, there's a line in the Course in Miracles, "There would be no Savior if there were no need for one." To me, the idea of God as something that we call on in any given moment, I think if we are left to our own devices, we will bring the past into the present, because there is a place in our minds which is almost like a dark force that would always have us do that. And it is our instinct at this point to bring it with us into the present. But I believe that in any given moment that we surrender our thoughts and say, "God, may your light be here. May your thoughts be here. May your purposes be here." And I think that that's a matter of mental discipline that I think comes from practice and from prayer and meditation. I know, left my own devices, I'm going to bring my thinking. My thinking has false ambition in it. My thinking has fear in it. My thinking has the past in it. My thinking has the future in it. And that is thinking that will rob me of my life. So I ask for celestial help here. I ask God to, I willingly and consciously invite the Spirit of God to be in charge of my thought forms.
Let me give you a practical tool, too, and see whether you guys like this one, Raymond, Marianne. I've come up with a question that I ask myself it turns out to be a very practical hands-on tool allowing me to return to the present moment. And that question that I ask myself whenever I'm confronted with any outside data or any experience internally of myself, whether it's fear or anger that comes up for me or whatever it might be, is this: what would happen if that weren't so? And here's how I apply that. If I find myself in traffic someplace and suddenly becoming angry, I notice, okay, I'm angry because the traffic is slowing me down. And then I ask myself what I call my magic question: but what would happen if that weren't so? And then I realize that I'm at choice about that. The exterior circumstance may not change. The traffic jam may be just as bad as it was 3 seconds earlier, but my perception of what it's doing to me and my idea about myself in relationship to it can change if I allow myself to notice that I have the opportunity to create that change. If I become fearful about something and I say, I'm really afraid about this conversation with Marianne Williamson and Raymond Moody, two huge names in this whole field. What am I doing here talking to these people? And then I think to myself as I sit down in this chair, yes, but what would happen if that weren't so? Then how would you be? And suddenly I can relax and notice that Raymond and Marianne are two perfectly lovely people, and it's okay to be equal with them in this
conversation.
And
Neil, also, I think I feel that by and large people tend to put too much of a burden on them of themselves about that kind of thing. You know, many of the people who have had profound near-death experiences and have seen the importance of love through that experience nonetheless tell me that even after a grand vision like that, it's really, in fact, very difficult to put that into practice on a daily basis. And one thing that happens, I think, is that if you just keep that in mind, that this too shall pass away, as in that old saying, over a period of time, that does work on you.
Yes, yes. Elizabeth Kubler Ross, my dear and lovely friend of many years, has a saying. She said, I'm going to have T-shirts printed up that say, I'm not okay and you're not okay and that's all right.
Oh, that's cute.
So I think we need to give ourselves permission, as you point out, Raymond, give ourselves permission to have it either way, to fall off the wagon, as it were, to get into our past, to get into our drama, be totally okay. When we're totally, see, what you resist persists. When we're totally okay with the drama we're creating, then we'll probably create fewer of them. That's been my experience.